Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Benji from Microsoft UK, and we're going to do our first transatlantic screencast. So, Benji, tell me about yourself.
Okay, so I'm a senior consultant with Microsoft Services in the UK, and a lot of my work is hands-on development of integration solutions. I specialize in BizTalk Server and, by extension, WCF, WFSU, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
So,
cool. Okay. And what time is it there in the UK right now?
it's nearly 5 o'clock in the
Oh,
evening.
okay.
It's
So it's morning
yeah.
here in the Seattle area, but hey, that's how it works when we're international. So now you have been collaborating with some guys on a project. Tell me about that project. What is it?
Okay, so the project that I've been working on is the guys at the ThinkTecture Consulting, Christian Weyer, Ingo Rammer, and others. And I've been working with them over the past few years on their tool called WSIF Blue, which is Web Services Contract First. And it's a tool that supports building WCF services in a WSDL first manner. And it started out before WCF and was just Web Service Contract First for Azimex. And now it's fully WCF based.
Okay, so when we say contract first, I mean, to some people that means like I create my interface, I my service and all of that, but you're not really talking about that kind of contract.
No. So we are talking about the other type of contract, which is the schema or WSDL first. Because what we found is there are a number of projects, number of scenarios like government or tourism or financial services where you're dealing with message exchange where there's already predefined large numbers of schemas and WSDLs. And if you want to do the project as a service consumer or as a provider, they expect you to exactly adhere to the WSDLs. So they don't take a code first approach. So we need the support for that. But of course, if you have the option of going and building your service contracts in code first and using things like, the data contract serializer, then that's fine. But we find there's a lot of demand for WSDL first. It's also, when you're interoperating with Java and other systems, then the wire format XML XSD becomes very important. And we think there's a need for the tooling. We don't negate the other side of the tools, but this WSDL first becomes very important.
Oh, hey, I see the lights came on. That's good. You were in the dark before. All right. Okay, so now you're going to show us this tool. So let's switch the recording here so we can see your screen, and then we'll show the tool.
All right.
Okay, so now I can see your screen here. So what are you showing me here?
So I'm showing you where to get this. So this is on CodePlex, wsifblue.codeplex.com
Yeah, so
is where
just
you
so
can get
people understand, that's WSCF
SCF.
Blue. Yeah, okay.
WSCF. Yeah, so the blue is actually a take on Indigo, which is the code name for WCF.
Oh, I see.
Because the previous version was Azimex, so when it came out, we needed a way to distinguish it.
Oh, okay,
So we just
cool.
called it Blue, and it stayed there. So downloading and installing is pretty simple. It's just an add-in into Visual Studio. So if you grab the downloads from there, from the zip, and just install the MSI, it's a single click. And when you get into it works for both Visual Studio 2010 and 2008 in the same MSI.
Oh, cool.
So
Okay.
once you download it and you just install it, you have a look inside your Visual Studio, and you can see it in the add-in manager, just like all of the add-ins. So let's go ahead and have a look at what it does.
All right.
So let's take a new project, and let's say a WCF's service. So in this scenario, I'm going to take the example of a restaurant service. We also have a walkthrough which ships on the same downloads page, which walks you through creating a solution. So I'm kind of going to go through what that does. So let's take WCF service, and let's call it, say, food service. We choose a WCF service application. Now you could choose a WCF service library and put all the contracts there and self-host it, all of that stuff, but we'll just take the simple route now and have a service application created. So far then we'll just kill all the unnecessary things from here. So now, before I add my access, I have some predefined XSDs, and I'm going to show you how to build a WSDL from that and how to generate the code. Now, just to keep it a bit more organized, so create a contract. Now, what I'm going to do quickly is just copy some of the contracts that I have. Right. So now what I have here is three messages that are defining, three XSDs, sorry, that are defining my web service. I've chosen to separate them as messages, XSD, the data types, and some extras. So over here, looking at the Schema Explorer, I see things like messages defined, which are things like get restaurants and get restaurants response. So these are effectively my message contract. And although this is not necessary, very often with WSIF, we try to encourage that people think about message contracts and data contracts even when they're dealing with XML and XSD. So I've got my messages. Then I've got my data contracts. And so things like the restaurant info, all the complex types that there are. And this is very common, you'd find. And also I've got another miscellaneous file, which has got some data, which is going to become an element we use as a SOAP header. So this is kind of very common where you'd be given a bunch of schemas to deal with. Very often you have a WSDL, but if you don't have a WSDL, creating a WSDL by hand is, you know, it's a very complex task, and that's why people shy away from WSDL first development. But we don't think it's we need to worry about it. So if you have some XSDs, so let's go ahead and create a WSDL interface. So you right click on any of the XSDs and it brings up let me show you that again. WSIF Blue, create WSDL interface description. Now, you might be a bit squished on the screen because of my resolution, but let's go ahead and so let's call it our food service is what we wanted to call it, right? Food service, and let's give it a namespace. We'll be good about this and not use temp URI. Say something like this. Doesn't matter. And then what we do is it's picked up, we highlighted one of the schemas. We just need to make sure it has all the schemas when it needs to do its work. So we just add them back in. So that's by doing the add import. Then the next thing I do is I need to define the operations. Because you can imagine if we have a number of operations, it could be quite tedious. So what we've done is if you look at this box here, info operations, we click that, it goes through all the messages and tries to identify what your operations might be. In our case, get restaurants, add restaurant, and rate restaurant are the ones we want. So we'll just remove the other things that it thought are there. So it's not perfect, but it gets you quite the way. And we also want to change, say, rate restaurant to that. So it kind of saves some time, but maybe not all. The only operations we've defined now are one-way and request response. We're thinking of doing some of the other things like duplex and callbacks in future versions. And the next thing it does is it allows you to associate these operations with messages and maybe add some message headers or change the message name. For most of this, I'm just going to leave it as it is. Say for add restaurant, let's say if you want to add a new restaurant, then you have to have some user credentials, so it's a message header. And then let's say I'm going to rate restaurant, I have the input message. And here you see it's not perfect, so it's picked up the wrong message, but just change that. What I'd also like to do here is add a custom fault. So I'd like to throw a strongly typed fault. So here I have a custom fault message. This message was actually, this type was defined in the XSD. So let's call it rating fault. And there's a small thing in the ID in this wizard. So you go back, come back, then it gives you the name rating fault over here. So then we generate the service element, And I won't tick the box to open the code gen. I just want to show you the WSDL first. And you also have the option of going in for a SOAP 1.2 type of binding. If you're dealing with that, we'll leave 1.1. And this last dialog just lets you add any alternative paths you might have, all your XSDs available on a web server for public download. So in case you want to do that, you can put the alternate path. Otherwise, you're finished. So that creates the WSDL. And if you go down and if you look at the WSDL, you'll notice that we're not embedding any of the schemas. We're using the imports. So the WSDL is nice and thin. And it's got all the messages that you need over here. It even says the faults we defined for the rate restaurants and the actual web service going down, all the bindings, and here you've got the actual service definition. So that's your WSDL. All right, so far. So would you like to see the code generation then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's what this is for. Right. So actually, even at this point, a WSDL and XSDs may be all that you want to exchange with your partners. So that's quite useful in that way. But let's go ahead and do this. Now, we have the option of either generating only your data contracts or generating the entire web service code. In this case, I'll choose web service code. And here it throws a dialog that tells me, asks me whether I'm generating for a client-side proxy or a server-side stub. I choose that. A number of options are available only for services. Obviously, if you're a client-side proxy, then you don't care about service behaviors, stuff like that. So we've documented what all these things do. Essentially, this allows you to do customize how your code is going to look with, and these options are a number of decorators. So you know, you could think of it as a GUI over SVCUtil. Now, we don't actually use SVCUtil, but we use some of the same framework classes like service contract generator under the covers. So what I'd like to do then is say choose separate files. I would like to use lists in my objects, and I'm going to use single concurrency mode, per call instance context, and you know, all the things that allow you to customize your WCF service. What we also let you do choose is do the default thing like most code generators do, which is to generate a class which just has method saying not implemented exception. But what we can also do is generate a partial service class with partial methods, and we can also generate an abstract service class. And then what the reason for doing this is because if you're using code gen, then you have where you might be round tripping over and over again. So if you choose the first option, then you're going to be overwriting your class and all the any code you might have put there. Whereas if you take the abstract service class, then you're not going to be touching your class again. At least you're not touching the code you've written. Similarly with partial classes. So it saves some trouble in overwriting the code. So let's say that's what we want. Generate it. And it finishes that. So you can see it's created a number of classes. If you go inside, say, the iFood service, typically what you would expect to see with a service contract, you've got all the messages there, and you've got the fault contract for restaurant. And then you've also got the actual food service, which is the implementation class. Now, I chose to use the default not implemented exception, but of course I could have taken any of the other options. Then what it also does is it generates the SVC file. And if you look at the markup, it just basically refers to the service, the interface that we've defined. What we also do is we don't like to mess with the web config or app config, so we put the configuration into a separate file called output config. So then we need to manually put this into the web config. We're looking at future options to merge, but actually with WCF4, you don't really need that because you've got the default endpoints, and I'll show you that in action. So now we've got the base service. Just let's fill it out and let's have a quick test with the test client. Now, what I'll do to save some time in writing this entire thing out is use the time-tested trick of copying and pasting something I already have.
So, that's a good plan.
Yeah. We just want to save time. I don't think anybody wants to actually see whether I can type. Yeah, so let's do this. Whoops. Class. This is what's my pizzas? This is my pizza service. You know, I had another one. Okay, so let me just take just the three or four methods from them. Yeah, and put them back to Visual Studio. Okay, and we just add a couple of usings. I'm just using these two because over here I've chosen to use the fault exceptions. So what I've done is quite simple here. I'm not bothered with the input. I'm just returning a response with one restaurant inside it, with a 1,000 name Pizza Express. And then I'm not doing much with the add, although I have things like soap headers I could check if I wanted. And in the rating, I'm just going to want to show how the faults work. So I'm just checking if the restaurant is 1,000 and it's poor, then I'm going to throw a fault and say, I'm sorry, I can't accept this rating.
So they paid extra for that, right?
Yeah, they paid extra. It could be Michelin stars. So it's built. Moment of truth. And let's see whether it likes it, IE9. Wait, let me refresh. Usual. Yeah, okay. So it's just an IE problem, IE9 beta problem. So we've got that. And so let's use the WCF test client for a sec. Here it is. Now that we've got support for complex types, it makes this such a nice tool. Okay, so let's look at this now.
You're going to have to scoot that up so we can see it on this side.
Sorry. Is that better?
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, so it's got the thingy. I'm not checking the request, so I'm just going to call a get restaurants request, invoke that, and I've got 1,000 Pizza Express over there. So then let's try the rate restaurant. Now I'm going to do restaurant 1,000, but first let's look at the good one. So let's say good, invoke, says thank you.
Ah, okay.
So now, okay. So now let's change it to poor, invoke, and here it says invalid rating.
Oh, good, okay.
Okay, and then looking at the XML for that, the fault string, that's the reason invalid rating. And here we say the one stuff we put in the code, not accept, sorry, we don't accept such a rating. Right, so that's the fault message. Just to go back to the code, this is what we said, the fault reason, invalid rating, and this. So we've got a service. Now, if you're using .NET 3.5 and VS 2008, of course, you would have to merge your configuration with your web config, but with .NET 4, we didn't need to do that. But what you'd also see in the config is we've chosen basic HTTP binding by default, and that again is because of the interoperability being our base requirement. Now, if people, so far actually nobody has come back and told us, can you provide a drop down with all the different kinds of bindings and use that. But of course, if you if anyone watching this feels they really want to change this such that they can get WS HTTP or something else, then do let us know and we can look at adding support for all the other bindings. So we just generate that by default, and we also put in the basic endpoint over here with the binding, and it just works. So that's the service side. Pretty similar on the client side. You could do the same thing if you really wanted to. Do you want to see the client side? Just normal proxy generation, really.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see it real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll just do it very quickly. Let's just add a console app. So the basic premise here is we think that instead of relying on the custom generated WSDL, if you're doing a contract first development and you have all the XSDs and WSDLs, then it's a good idea to actually share that with your consumer. But if you want to, you can always just launch the website and do a question mark WSDL. I'll just show you the way we prefer doing this. I can actually take the WSDL as well from the food service that we just generated very quickly there. So I've got these four things, food consumer, and let me put it there. Okay, back to Visual Studio. Right, so now that we've got all of the WSDLs, we go back here and we just choose the same thing. We just say generate web service code, but this time we say generate a client-side proxy, and then it changes stuff. So let's say this time I don't want separate files, and let's just say want to put everything in a single file. So I choose that. That finishes. And pretty much like you would expect to see, this has got all the types that you would want to see: the food service client class, and once you've got all of this, then it's just standard box, standard WCF. You know, I don't think we would really want to do this here now. Wire up a new client and just call it, and you'll see pretty much what we were seeing in the WCF test client. So that's pretty much what we have in the tool. The idea is to rapidly be able to take your XSDs and compose them into WSDLs. If you already have the WSDL, then to be able to generate the code, have a number of options that can allow you to tweak what you're doing and make it a really good service. So that's the tool.
Hey, that's really cool. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. And so again,
no problem.
People can find that on CodePlex.
Yes.
And do you still have that browser up?
Yeah, sure.
Pull that browser window in there so we can see the URI again. It's wscfblue.codeplex.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, thanks so much, Benji, for sharing that with us so people can go try this out and see what they think. And that's great.
Yeah, please send us feedback and what you'd like to see in new features. We've also got on the issue tracker page tab, we've got a number of things that we would like you to vote on. We've got things like people have asked us for providing support for things like XSD choice, use the data contract serializer, use feature builder as the platform for the next version of WSF Blue, T4 templates, stuff like that. So if any of those items are things that you'd like to see, then do let us know and we can prioritize, because we've already started building the next version of WSF Blue.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks, Benji.
Thank you, Ron.
All right. We'll see you next time.